States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 117 of the USDF's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we'll be continuing our series on American dressage legends when we celebrate the life of Margarita Sorrell. And later on in the program, we'll be hearing from Dr. Laura Werner again, who has an update on the new USEF vaccination rule. But first, an item of news from the USDF office this week is regarding the USDF and Great American Insurance Group, who have announced the prize money for the 2016 Great American USDF Regional Dressage Championships Series, presented by SmartPak and supported by Merriall. Prize money totaling over $180,000 will be awarded at the 2016 Great American USDF Regional Championships, divided evenly among the 9 regions and 35 divisions that are offered, allowing each region to present competitors with over $20,000 in prize money and awards. Champions in each region and division will receive $343 in prize money and an embroidered jacket and gift certificate generously provided by SmartPak, official supplement feeding system of the USDF. Reserve champions in each region and division will receive $229 in prize money, along with a saddle pad provided by the Great American Insurance Company, the title sponsors of the championships. And now, in our ongoing series of American legends, we remember the life of Margarita Sorrell, who was inducted into the USDF Rumor Foundation Hall of Fame in 2003, in recognition of her leadership in raising the profile of dressage in the United States when it was in its infancy. She was the driving force behind the creation of the American Dressage Institute and served as its first president for 6 years. Under her guidance, the ADI hosted shows, clinics, demonstrations, and seminars and fielded the U.S. bronze medal team at the 1976 Olympic Games. In the early 1960s, dressage was little known or respected in the U.S. Margarita Sorrell was one of the few dedicated enthusiasts who sought to promote and develop the sport in this country. In 1967, she and others made a trial effort at hosting a dressage seminar in Saratoga Springs, New York. As Sorrell tells it, "One summer, we got together a couple of guinea pigs who wanted to become acquainted with another level of riding. Things went so well during those first 2.5 weeks that we said, let's not let this go and let's put it together the next summer. Guess who everyone looked at?" She laughed. The following year, the American Dressage Institute held its first official educational program, funded primarily by Sorrell, and the ADI was born, with Sorrell serving as its first president for 6 years. The organization initially attracted riders from New England and the Mid-Atlantic, but soon expanded by word of mouth, drawing participants from as far away as California, New Mexico, Texas, and Canada. Sorrell described long days in the saddle followed by long discussions of dressage. She said, "Every evening after supper, it was a free-for-all. But what we had was a school built on hope, looking forward to the day when someone in the U.S. would understand what it takes to ride dressage well." The ADI dressage seminars continued each summer. Sorrell's concluding remarks in her 1969 letter to ADI members was an optimistic predictor. Quote, "Our goal of a school whose sole purpose is to teach the correct basic elements of classical dressage seems to be almost within our grasp and points the way toward putting the USA in the running again on an international level. There is no reason to doubt that with proper facilities and first-rate staff, the ADI could produce a rider and a horse of Olympic quality for 1972, and perhaps even two for 1976. Sorrell's expectations were surpassed when the U.S. won the team bronze medal at the 1976 Olympics, and the ADI footed the $20,000 bill to send the U.S. squad of Hilda Gurney on Keene, Dorothy Morkus on Monaco, and Edith Master on Dulwitz to the Games. It was the first US Olympic dressage medal since 1948 and was accomplished without sending anyone to Europe. This incredible, unexpected victory was one of the most significant events in US dressage history, and Margarita Sorrell's leadership, faith, and unwavering dedication played a major role in making it happen. The ADI hired Colonel Bent Lindqvist, who went on to coach the 1976 Olympic team and served as ADI's official head instructor. The organization then sponsored a series of formal training sessions at the USET headquarters in Gladstone, New Jersey. In addition, Lundqvist traveled all over the country to bring instruction to people who could not travel to Gladstone. The list of ADI program graduates reads like a who's who in American dressage, from FEIO judge Linda Zhang, 1992 Olympic team bronze medalist and USDF certification examiner Michael Poulin, and USA equestrian S judges Alexander Howard and Tom Poulin, to name a few. Today, the USDF instructor certification program helps to carry on the ADI legacy of developing classically trained teachers and trainers. Sorrell was a founding member of the USDF and participated in the inaugural meeting in February 1973 in Lincoln, Nebraska. She brought to the table her ADI experience in organizing a broad-based, member-driven national organization. And because of Sorrell's dedication and strength of purpose, her creativity in founding the American Dressage Institute, and her innovative leadership, dressage in the U.S. received the respect it deserves as an equestrian discipline. In her 1969 ADI member letter, she wrote, "Dressage in this country is at present like the weather. Everybody complains about it, but nobody does anything about it." Sorrell did something about it, and dressage in the US is forever enriched as a result of her efforts. And you can learn more about the USDF Rumor Foundation Hall of Fame inductees by visiting the website at usdf.org and clicking on the Hall of Fame link. And now, in our next segment this week, we feature information from veterinarians as the USDF Education Coordinator Diane Shawback sat down with Dr. Laura Werner to talk about the new U.S. Equestrian Federation rule on vaccination.
Dr. Werner received her doctorate from Auburn University and her master's at Ohio State University. She has served as associate at the Haggard Equine Medical Institute since 2011. As well as being a veterinarian, Dr. Werner is a competitor and has served as an FEI veterinarian delegate at some of the top eventing competitions in the United States. Dr. Werner, thank you for coming.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Could you give listeners a brief summary of the new USEF rule?
Sure. So the basic rundown of the rule is not only to help protect horses, but also just make it easier for competitors to understand, as well as for the vaccination for USEF requirements to mesh more with FEI requirements as well. So the most basic form of the rule would require your veterinarian to give a vaccination for rhinopneumonitis or equine herpes virus, generally the forms 1 and 4, as well as equine influenza virus every 6 months. So that will go along with the needed requirement for FEI for an influenza vaccine every 6 months. That's the most common form of it. And then your veterinarian would just provide a letter that documents the vaccination. Also, some competitions are accepting the horse's passport as a form of this documentation as well, since it's going to be the same information entering the passport. If you administer your vaccines by yourself at home, then you need to provide the competition with a receipt of that vaccination purchase, as well as the information that includes the serial number, the brand of the vaccine, the date it was administered. So some of these vaccinations actually come with little stickers that you can save off the vaccination if you're doing your own vaccines at home. If for some reason your horse has a reaction and cannot receive this type of vaccination, you need to provide the horse show management with that documentation from your veterinarian that the horse has a reaction to that. And then you have to provide a temperature log about a week before the competition where the temperature is taken twice a day ahead of time. On some of these cases as well too, I have drawn titers on some of the horses just to see that the horse has adequate vaccination protection and you can provide that in your documentation as well. But basically, a temperature log will be required for twice a day before the competition if your horse cannot receive that vaccination. Now, just to remember too, and just going with FEI, the horse cannot receive a flu vaccination within 7 days of competition. So just like I said, this just makes it easier to schedule your vaccinations so that USEF and FEI are the same.
Okay. Why is this new vaccination rule important to competitors?
It just makes it easier on them as well, too, because of the requirements of when a vaccine could get performed and with FEI and such, is that some of these horses with their busy competition schedules were having difficulty. There's other competitions that actually required vaccinations every 90 to 120 days. So again, fitting that all in with the horse's competition schedule, with the FEI schedule, it was very difficult to fit this all in and make it safe for the horse. Over-vaccination is not a good thing either. So that's why this is, per the American Association of Equine Practitioners, this is their recommendation for adult horses that are going to competitions for the vaccines to be done every 6 months. So it just is meshing along with AEP recommendations, and just like I said, to make it easier for the competition. And this is in recent, you know, there have been, we haven't had influenza problems, but there have been equine herpes, obviously, outbreaks at some show facilities as well as some racetrack facilities, enough that makes it a good requirement for you to make sure your horse is up to date on those vaccines prior to going to a competition.
So what steps do they need to take prior to the competition?
Well, generally, talk to your veterinarian, and I would just get them, you know, as part of your normal healthcare discussion with them for their yearly vaccinations. Get on that schedule. I like to go over my competitors, their whole competition schedule for the, so we can fit this in when it's best for the horse, so it's not interfering. Like I said, a lot of my horses are doing FEI competitions, so we make sure it's longer than a week out from their competition, as at a time where they can have a couple of days off if needed. So, you know, I sit down with my clients and we go over all this and plan out when they need it for their passports, make sure everything's up to date and current. So that's what I would, is just speak with your veterinarian and get that. And that way, that's probably the easiest way to have record. You know, people lose the stickers or whatever. So I think it's best just to have, in my mind, to have your veterinarian do it and provide that documentation for you. And that's one less thing for you to have to worry about.
Do you have any other tips or things you'd like to make people aware of about the rule?
No, I think it's a good rule. I'm actually really excited about it because, like I said, some of the shows were requiring vaccines as often as 90 days. And again, that's not great for the horse either. Over vaccination, they've actually found, could be a related factor in some of these neurologic herpes outbreaks, that over vaccination was a factor in those horses that show the neurologic form of it. So this is a great way to standardize it, make it everything simple for, again, veterinarians and for the horse owners and the show management, I think, to have that. So I'm really excited they did pass this rule through.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us today to talk to us about this and go over everything. For more information about the rule and the complete language of the rule, do go to the USEF rulebook. Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a reminder that the March issue of the USDF's Connection magazine and the 2016 USDF Stallion Guide are now available on the new USDF app. If you've not already downloaded the app, just go to the usdf.org website and click on the app icon at the top of the page. If you have any topics or questions for us that you would like to discuss here on the USDF's podcast, please drop us an email to podcasts@usdf.org. And that's it for this week's program. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.